Real Concho with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. All right, Senator Dick Durbin is joining us right now, senior senator of the state of Illinois. And, Senator, thank you, as always, for being with us.
Good to be with you.
A couple different things. Since this is happening in real time for us right now, the elections are too close to call in Israel. What is your take on what's going to happen there?
I'm not a fan of Bibi Netanyahu. I think his approach, confrontational approach, his settlement policy, I don't believe is really leading Israel in the right direction toward a peaceful resolution of conflicts with the Palestinians and others. And so I hope that the people of Israel see it the same way, but of course I'll respect their judgment.
There is going to have to be the creation of a new government. There's not an overwhelming winner here. It doesn't appear, at least based on the exit polls. We'll know more. This plays into exactly what's going on, though, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and in Iran. Do you believe that Iran was behind those attacks in Saudi Arabia? Is that your sense?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, and I think it's retaliation. Just follow the scenario here. The United States, through President Trump, withdraws from the nuclear agreement, an agreement that was entered into by a half a dozen countries, China, Russia, the European Union, England, and so forth, that stopped the Iranians from developing nuclear weapons. President Trump said, I'm opposed to that agreement from the start. When he got his chance, he eliminated it. Then he started hyping up the pressure on the Iranians. Now, make no mistake, they're not good actors. They're involved in terrorism, and I'm not making any excuses for that. But the president has been escalating this relationship since he withdrew from that agreement, and he's been cutting off their export of oil, which is the source of a lot of revenue coming into Iran. Now, they're retaliating. They stopped tankers that were coming through the straits and threatening others. And now this hit on a Saudi oil facility. I mean, I didn't see any fingerprints on the scene, and I'm not likely to ever see those, but it wouldn't surprise me if Iran was behind this. This is further evidence of the escalation between our two countries.
Is there anything that you would like to see done there?
Well, let me tell you, the president says we're locked and loaded. Wait a minute, Mr. President. The United States does not have a mutual security agreement to protect Saudi Arabia. We have not committed ourselves, our troops, the lives of our men and women, nor our treasury to the defense of Saudi Arabia. And if the president wants to retaliate in this situation against Iran in some form, the Constitution is very clear. He comes to Congress for authority. He doesn't have the authority to do that today. I don't know anybody imagines he does. But, you know, when he makes these threats about we're locked and loaded, as if he's prepared for an invasion, I have to remind him he is bound by the same Constitution that I'm bound by.
You know, there is an aversion, I think, to using military force in the region. I think many of us sort of, you know, we have a visceral reaction when we hear that kind of thing, that this is escalating in that manner. But then you look at Iran, an actor like that, and you wonder, how does this play out in the best case scenario, Senator? What do you think could happen here that would put our minds at rest?
Well, I want to back you up and say I'm not making a defense of Iran. They are engaged in conduct now in the Middle East. They have terrorized the United States and our troops in the past, and I am not dismissing it or ignoring it. But I think we were on the right track with the Iran nuclear agreement. We stopped the development of nuclear weapons. We put international inspectors on the ground to verify it. It was working. I met with those inspectors, the lead inspectors, and they told us every door is open. When we knock on a door, it opens. So we feel like they're being open and candid with us. That was a step in the right direction. But instead of moving in that direction, the president went in the opposite direction, walked away from the agreement and said, we're going to go toe-to-toe with these folks. And that kind of escalation of rhetoric and threats and sanctions, unfortunately, leads to bad consequences. We live in a dangerous world. The president of the United States, as commander-in-chief of the strongest, greatest military in the world, has to be careful in the rhetoric he uses. And when you say you're locked and loaded, for goodness sakes, it's an open threat. I'm sure your listeners remember, and some of them have been touched personally, we have been engaged in the longest wars in the history of the United States in Iraq and Afghanistan. 18 years. We have lost thousands of American lives, spent trillions of dollars. So the notion that we're going to just drop in, solve the problem, and leave hasn't proved to be the case in those two countries.
Yeah, well, and it certainly could not be in Iran either. Iran is a highly industrialized country.
It is, and it would be a substantial threat to the United States. Do I think we would prevail in some fashion? Of course. But it would be long and bloody and wouldn't end quickly.
Right. I agree with you on that. But the real question is, do we come to the defense of Saudi Arabia, who is our stated ally, regardless of the fact that they too have been bad actors along the way here, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of ways?
Well, you raised the right point, Ro. I mean, when it comes to the kingdom, as the president calls it, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were murdering a resident of the United States in Turkey and chopping up his body to dispose of it, and with bone saws or whatever the heck they were using.
Right.
They have been engaged in this war in Yemen, which has become one of the worst humanitarian disasters in the region, and we have been facilitating it by helping them target when they do their bombing raids. It is a country which was linked to 9/11, and the exact investigation, the intelligence investigation about the details, have never been released to the American public. So, you know, this isn't kind of a strained relationship at this moment. I, as I said at the outset, I know for a fact we're not party to a treaty to protect and defend Saudi Arabia. We ought to think twice before we commit America's military for any period of time for that purpose.
Okay, Congress back in session now. Obviously, you're in the fall session, so as much as can possibly get done there, because next year, you know, nothing will get done in the fall session. Where do you think gun control stands?
Well, the president called me on another matter several weeks ago. It was right after one of the terrible shootings, and I can't recall, but I think it was Dayton, Ohio. He volunteered at the beginning of the conversation, "Dick, we're going to have background checks. Serious. You'll be so proud of them. We're going to do it." And I wish I could tell you that I believed him when he said it. I thought, you haven't run into the buzzsaw of the gun lobby coming back at you and saying you better not do it. Well, now he's run into it, and he's backing off, unfortunately, from any commitment for serious background checks. Think about any other issue in the United States where 90 to 95% of the American people agree, Democrats and Republicans, serious background checks, so that people who are convicted felons and mentally unstable don't buy firearms? I mean, for goodness sakes, that's just common sense. And now the president's backing off of it. The people who are negotiating it, the senators who are negotiating it, are really glum this week. They just don't feel like this is moving forward. If there's ever a moment when the American electorate has to speak up and stand up and eventually vote on this issue, now's the time if we're ever going to end this bloody gun death that's going on in our country.
Hmm. And then finally, the issue of vaping. Obviously, there are states that are going, municipalities and states that are making moves now in terms of limiting the sale of you know, whether it's the vaping cartridges, the vaping pens themselves, or whatever, you know, whatever the device is.
Right.
There is obviously there's
citywide bans proposed, as in Chicago. Mayor Lightfoot,
sure.
I know you joined with her, Senator Durbin, in that effort. And is that the right way to go?
I think it is. Vaping targets kids. We know this. 2 years ago, 10% of high school students were vaping. A year ago, it was 20%. Now it's 27%. More than one out of four high school students, 10% of middle school students. 5 million kids are vaping. The nicotine hit on one of those vaping devices is 20 times the hit on a tobacco cigarette. It's highly addictive and dangerous. The seventh young person died just hours ago in California from vaping. A doctor I ran into in Chicago at a breakfast on Monday, who'd just done his rounds at a major hospital, I won't name names, told me there are three more kids who are virtually on life support at this moment because of vaping in the Chicago area. This is serious.
It's underreported. I'm here to tell you that the numbers of cases here are underreported. And it's funny, when you talk to people, you know, you have either first or second or third degree knowledge of somebody who's had a problem here.
Right.
So that tells you that there's real numbers.
It's serious.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, and your listeners will be a little bit surprised. Hats off to the Trump administration. They did the right thing last week. They said to Juul, stop claiming that you're a healthy alternative to smoking with cigarettes, because there's no proof that you are. When we see children using your product and we see children moving from vaping to tobacco cigarettes, that's no public health thing to brag about. The second thing they did, they're shutting down the sale of these flavors that these kids are attracted to. Razzle Dazzle Berry, Gummy Bears, Fruit Loops, all these different flavors. Do you think a 50-year-old chain smoker is looking for Fruit Loops flavor?
No. So, I don't think so.
I know a few who might.
I guess
the president and first lady spoke up on it, and I commend them. I have ever since. They've done the right thing.
Senator Durbin, the one big pushback I've heard on this whole thing is that banning them sends them back underground, and that the evidence, we don't know yet, but the overwhelming evidence so far seems to show that the people showing up with the respiratory illnesses and among the deaths were buying these illicit sort of THC-laced vaping materials and weren't buying them more from dispensary type of stores. How do you respond to that?
Well, we haven't nailed down exactly what's killing kids. We know that the 400 or so that we have reported into emergency rooms and hospitals, incidentally, a third of them go right into intensive care units. It's that serious. We know that there's some of them have used this THC or cannabis compound and laced it into their devices. I just want to tell you, we got to put an end to this. The next kid who starts tomorrow should not have started. And if we say, well, 5 million have already done it, maybe we'll have to take another 5 or 10 million before we get around to it. Shame on us. Some of these kids are going to die, and some of their health situations will be compromised by this addiction. I don't know of any parent who says, hey, great news, my kid just started vaping. Nobody's going to say that. And if you ask the principals and teachers, they'll tell you, as Ro just said, it's a heck of a lot worse than is currently being reported in schools across the United States, large and small. Right. It's time to step up and do something decisive.
And one of the problems that they're having here is when they bring these kids in, they're reticent to talk about exactly what they did. You know, they don't necessarily want to admit that they were using these some of these like homemade, essentially. They just, you know, as you know, Senator, they just raided that place on the Wisconsin-Illinois border.
Right, those two brothers.
We're making these things, and they think there may be a link, a connection to some of that product with some of these problems. So that, you know, there certainly is that. Just the idea, though, of drawing that kind of you know, hot steam into your lungs, and especially if it has an oil or wax base to it, you know, every pulmonologist is going to tell you that is, you know, it's a recipe for disaster. So
it's terrible. And what I'm trying to get across is, when it comes to the nicotine addiction, which is part of this thing, it is a nicotine hit dramatically larger than tobacco cigarettes. And these kids don't know it. They don't know what they're getting into. They think it's harmless. They're listening to these Juul advertisements, and they think it's harmless. It's not.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Senator.
And listen, my hats off to Mayor Lightfoot. She stepped right up on Monday morning. I didn't know she was going to make the announcement. The city's going after it, and I hope that our suburban communities will join. The faster our state can move on this, better for our kids. Thank you.
Thanks,
Senator Durbin.
Senator Durbin.
Yeah, one of the ones in Wisconsin, they was packaged, those two boys, when they raided their house. Boys, they're 29 years old. It was Sour Patch Kids product, you know, and it was packaged just like Sour Patch Kids. You know, it's like, what is that? Who is that intended for?
But it had THC in it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you might notice in my new Michigan Avenue pot store that I'm hoping to be.
You won't find that?
No, you will find that.
Oh, you will. You'll have that.
There are some flavored things that do go, you know.
Take that candy store down and put, like, you know, candy flavored real vaping cigarettes.
I mean, I think what they're going to find here is that maybe not all the cases, but a number of the cases are going to be linked to this homemade product that is going out. Because the companies that are making real product, I mean, we know where they live. We know where their headquarters are, and they can get sued. You know, jagweed, mm-hmm. you know, in his garage is not thinking about, he's not worried about getting sued. He's worried about getting his next barrel of cash.
That's right.
Out of this. So that's that, you know, in terms of quality control, and you know, you're taking this stuff into your lungs.
I know.
And you're coating your lungs with wax internally. Yet just think about that for a second. I promise in my new pot store we will not have this problem.
Good. Glad to hear.
Right.
Quality control.
It's going to be Gummy Bear Central. Oh, you got to watch the gummy bears.
That too.
Yeah, because the adults haven't figured that out yet. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, the first gummy bear, and like 45 minutes later, you go, I think nothing is happening. And then you take another one, and then look out!
And then you're talking to a real gummy bear.
Right.
Life size.
Right. Four days later, you're still coming down.
That happens.
Yep. All right, let's talk about what's happening in the news with Kim Gordon. Bottom of the hour, what's happening?
And speaking of that, Mayor Lightfoot has released her plan for the location of pot stores in Chicago. We'll tell you where they won't be coming up.